Welcome to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network, your daily news from local experts. My name is Quentin Mayo, at T-O-Q-M underscore on Twitter and on Instagram and on Snapchat. You can add me at Skinny Q on the Snap. The Washington Wizards got it done overseas, ladies and gentlemen. 101-100, a buzzer beater goaltender Thomas Bryant layup? Yeah, I know. It sounds crazy. But it happened. Wizards won in a crazy, crazy, crazy form. It was so Wizards. But yeah, at the end of the day, the Wizards did everything they had to do to get a win over the 13th seeded New York Knicks. Is that sarcasm? Is it? Yeah, it is. It is. It is. The Wizards went down by what? I think they had the Knicks had a largest lead of 23. Excuse me, that was the game before. Largest lead of 19. The Wizards, you know, came back and they won it at the end. So I'm going to break it down, talk about it, you know, in my form and fashion. And it was, nonetheless, it was a good game. Any fan of basketball can appreciate it. And the Wizards are now 1-0 in London of all time. Their all-time record is 1-0 overseas. Across the pond, they say. So let's get right into it. Bradley Beal, man. I mean, are we going to talk about it or are we going to talk about it? I mean, no, he did not have a great first or second quarter. He was one turnover shy of his season, his career high in turnovers with 8. He had 7. But he got it done. He had 28 points. He went 10 for 29 on the floor. He was, like I said, he started out cold. But as the game progressed, he started to find a shot. He almost had a double-double, had 9 rebounds, had a plus-minus of 6. It just looked bad from early on. I think even I had to get the tweet from Freezing Cold Takes because I said, you know, it's the fourth quarter, 8 minutes left, and I was like, man, are the Wizards gonna win? Are they gonna win this game? Yes, no, or no? And everybody, you know, of course, you can't vote yes in a no or no question. I was like, this game is over. It's in the books. Steve Buckhans even said, I think I had a counter going on. He said this is a blowout 4 to 5 times on the live broadcast. So, I mean, everybody thought, you know, it was just another typical Wizards loss. And then, of course, they fight back in the third quarter, as they always do. The third and the fourth quarter, they made crazy runs, fought all the way back. And this time, it was the Wizards coming out victorious at the end. But, oh, my goodness, it almost didn't look like it was going to happen. So, yeah, Bradley Beal, he continues to do his thing. I think right now he's the leading scorer in the Eastern Conference, and he is the 5th leading scorer in the National Basketball Association. He averaged 30 points in the month of January, and he's just going off. He's clearly an all-star. I don't care if Jeremy Lin, Vince Carter, I don't care if any of these scrubs are get the fan vote over top of him. Any person that has a brain, has any type of basketball IQ, knows that Bradley Beal's an all-star. It's undisputed. You can't counter me with anything that will tell me otherwise. He is the at least top 5 shooting guard in the NBA. I have gone as far as saying that he is the second best shooting guard in the league, right behind James Harden. And somebody asked me to confirm that again 2 days ago, and I said yes. Right now, he's better than DeMar DeRozan. Right now, he's better than Klay Thompson. Now, it's not taken away from the greatness of either one of those players. DeMar DeRozan is a really good player. Klay Thompson, excellent player, All Star, one of the best shooters the game has ever seen. But this season, Bradley Beal is the second best shooting guard in the NBA behind none other than James Harden, who has had 18 straight games of 30 or more points that has never been done. Well, it's the first time it's been done in the history of NBA since the NBA-ABA merger in 1930-something. So a long, long time ago. But yeah, James Harden is going off, and you know, I know he can't wait to get Chris Paul and Clint Capella back and all that stuff. He's doing all he can, and they're dropping a few games. So yeah, that's where I stand on Bradley Beal, man. He's trying to pick up his game. You know, I got to talk about the comment. Was I mad? No, I was a little indifferent. Initially, I was like, what? But then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, I have no problem with it. Ted Leonsis, you know, he was at the game in London yesterday. And there was a scrum, that's what we call it in the media world. It's a scrum, reporters gathered around and asked them questions, fired away. The Washington Post was there, District, Hoop District, all that stuff. Everybody, all the outlets were there, NBC, everybody was there asking Ted Leonsis, you know, hey, how do you feel about the season? They said, what do you think about the word tank? And of course, if you have not heard, Ted Leonsis responded and said, I don't believe in tanking. There's no tanking going on here. We don't plan on tanking. He called tanking risky. He mentioned the process, which could be looked at as a success in some sorts. You have Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. You have a very good core of guys, core group of guys that are top. Well, I'll give you Joel Embiid as a top 10 to 15 player. I won't give you Ben Simmons, but he's up there. He's really good. Really, really good all-star guys on their team. And, you know, they're going to be competing for the Eastern Conference finals and maybe a final slot come the playoffs. So he said the tanking is risky. The process is risky. We're not doing any of that here. We're just trying to do our all. Go hard every single night. We're trying to get into the playoffs and we're trying to compete. Now, here's my question for Ted. Two things, positive and negative. First question is, what are you competing for? It's the difference between competing and competing. And here's my explanation of that. Competing, going hard every night, yes, trying to win games, yes, I feel you. But competing, hear the inflation? Competing. There is no way in the world this team, as it's currently constructed, injuries and all, coaching and all, talent and all, can compete in the postseason with the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, we took the Toronto Raptors double overtime. We lost, but we took the best team. You lost double overtime to Toronto Raptors. You're not competing with them in the postseason. Oh, we could play. You're not beating Philly seven games. I'm sorry. And they're not even going to be a top three seed, but you're not beating them either. Now, you got to get at least 6 or 5 to play Philly. So we're realistically looking at, if you sneak into the eighth slot, you're playing Boston, Toronto, or Milwaukee. You are not beating Boston, Toronto, or Milwaukee in the first round. It is that simple. I love me some Bradley Beal. I love what I see from Thomas Bryant. Coaching plus talent equals success. Coaching plus talent equals success. Oh, but what about LeBron? LeBron played with nobody. LeBron had so much talent. So much so that he was the best player in the league for a very long time. His talent took over for maybe, you know, a lesser coaching job by some of the guys that he's played with. But, I mean, he won championships with Eric Spoelstra. He also had a lot of talent around him. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, great role players, Shane Battier, Udonis, Mario Chalmers. Shout out Norris Cole. Well, and when he was in Cleveland, he had no coaching. I can't see why you're so hard on Scott. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. Come on, man. The Wizards have Bradley Beal. That's their talent. That's their core talent right now. That's like their Infinity Stone. What's the little thing Thanos got? That's their Infinity Stone right now. One of them. Their Infinity Stone right now is Bradley Beal. Now, supporting cast of that? Scott Brooks. Tomas Satoransky. I mean, he doesn't suck. But how's that point guard matchup go against Eric Bledsoe, Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry? I'm sorry, it's not going to get it done. We got Thomas Bryant down low. He's really pro. How's he compared to Lopez in Milwaukee? Joel Embiid. Valanciunas. Well, we got Trevor Reese, 33-year-old man. He's back in D.C. We talking wings now? Kawhi Leonard? We talking wings? Tatum? We talking wings? I can do this for every single position other than Bradley Beal as a guard. He's probably better than any other guard in the Eastern Conference. And that's final. That's it right now. At least right now, he's the best guard in the East. But there's not enough from top to bottom to compete. And when you're competing, Mr. Leonsis, the ultimate goal of the playoffs is to do what? Win a championship. You don't go into the playoffs saying, I just want to go to the playoffs to get there. You know, make Ernie's record look a little bit better. I want to make his resume look a little bit better, so at the negotiating table, he can say, well, this team did go to the playoffs for 3-4 straight years. You compete for championships. You play to win the game. So in all honesty, if you're still competing, Mr. Leonsis, you want a championship. And that's how low of a standard DC is right now. No, you know, let me take that back. That's how low of a standard the Wizards have right now. Because what are you competing for at the end of the day? We want to make the playoffs? What? Think about that. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and say, and here's the thing I did not have a problem with. I'm not saying that he should have been like, oh, yeah, we're tanking. I'm saying, oh yeah, we're tanking. You know, we're just not good enough to compete in the playoffs right now. I mean, we have a really talented guy in Bradley Beal. You have Otto Porter, and you know, got some other decent pieces. We're just not good enough to compete with the heavyweights right now. And the way our schedule is set up, the way our current ranking is set up, the way the chips have fallen, we're gonna be in a situation where we're not gonna be able to honestly compete against these heavyweight teams that are healthy, that are well coached, that are better top to bottom. We just can't compete right now. Now, if we had Wall, Beal, Dwight Howard, Markieff Morris, maybe not Markieff, but everybody else, you know what I'm saying? Then I can see if it's a healthy team, you say that, okay, I appreciate that. But what he should have said was, we're evaluating everything. So that's the typical go-to blanket statement, politician, coach, player, owner, that's the statement. Don't give this team a false hope. Bradley, I love everything you're doing, my guy. You have such a big heart. You're such a leader. I mean, you struggled to start off last night. You ended up being the reason why the Wizards won this game. Because without you putting up that 26, nobody else on the team scored over 20 besides Otto Porter Jr. After that, the next leading scorer was Tomas with 14. Thomas Bryant had 10. And Thomas Bryant finished with 10. But if I do recall, he was the leading scorer after the first quarter with six or eight. So his at least two or four of his remaining points came in the fourth quarter. So he was non-existent for pretty much the majority of the game. So, I mean, Bradley, I commend you. You go hard. You're a leader. We know you love it. I'm never going to tell you to not compete and not go hard. Keep doing your thing. I appreciate that. But what we're not going to do is ignore the elephant in the room. This team, pride aside, is not good enough to fight with Boston for 7, with Toronto for 7, with Indiana for 7, with the Sixers for 7. They're just not good enough for that. Is that such a bad thing? I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Glass half empty, glass half full. The chips fell how they fell. Dwight Howard got hurt early on. Big chunk out of the success of this season going forward. He got hurt early on. Boom, big step back. But we still got Wall, Beal, you know, Otto Porter. You know, we're good. We'll be decent. We're okay. Then you lose Wall. Bone spur. All-star point guard. Face of the franchise. This my city. Gone. Okay, we've seen the situation before. We had Satoransky, blah, blah, blah. No Markieff. At least for right now. It's not like we could talk about his on-off numbers all day, but I mean, it's not like, you know what I'm saying? So not only are you're losing your top-end talent, which now you're losing bodies. So now you're using Bradley Beal, who played another 40 minutes last night. Still third in the league in minutes behind Anthony Davis and James Harden, by the way. Top to bottom, this team just is not ready to compete in the playoffs. Because what are you going to do? Because now this is why I said they need to decide right now. And the decision is literally already made for them. Are you going to really compete? Or are you going to build for the future? This front office is so short-sighted. They're so short-sighted. It's one thing we talk about. It's called delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. You suck it up, do what you gotta do now, so in the future you can reap what you sow. It's, for example, I'm gonna go hard every single day in the gym right now, early in the morning, because I know two years from now, if I do that every single morning, I'm gonna be ripped. But I can't keep halfway doing it, you know what I'm saying? I can't keep halfway going to the gym. I can't wake up and go to the gym one morning and not work out for the next 4, and then I'll go work out at 12. You know what I'm saying? You have to go in or you're out. Right now, this team is trying to play the fence, and they literally don't even have the talent to play the fence. This team needs to build for the future. If you're not going to ship out a whole bunch of moves and make a whole bunch of trades and make this team a playoff contender and a championship contender right now, which you literally can't because of the tax money and the money that's tied up in this in these pieces, you can't do that. You cannot make a championship push. The championship should be the goal. It went from we want to win a championship to we want to get to the Eastern Conference to we want to sneak into the AFC. You see where I'm going with this? As time progresses, your goals are getting lower, which means that you're not increasing or progressing as a team. No excuses, Teleonsis. You said the same thing. No excuses. Well, then there's no excuse to make a change. We should not be in this space in this time. And I'm sorry to get y'all on one of these negative rants that y'all like to call me out. I'm just keeping it 100. Can I keep it 100 with y'all right now? The team is 19 and 26. You're 3 games out of the 8th seed. I feel that. I definitely do. I feel that. You beat the Knicks in London on a buzzer beater. Hail Mary. Goaltending call. On a play where Bradley Beal, I see Scott Brooks try to take something out the Brad Stevens playbook. When have you ever seen Scott Brooks take Beal or Wall from behind half court to get a running start to get something to the basket? He saw what that play was supposed to be when when Gordon Hayward passed the ball and then Tatum for the turnaround and said, oh, I can do that. I got to save my job. He has never done that. And if you want to keep it a stack, people are not going to keep praising this play call like it worked. Bradley Beal got the ball. They doubled him. They doubled him like they had been doing, the Knicks that is, that like they had been doing and had success with early on in the game. Not only did they double him, he fell, slipped, dumped it off to Thomas Bryant, which was a great, because it's not the original call. Even Bradley Beal said that, which was a great basketball play by Bryant to just roll off of a screen, to just roll. Bryant turns around, makes a great basketball play, puts the ball up, and then, you know, gets blocked, goaltending, here we are. But that's what it took to beat a 10-win team? That's all I'm saying. Like, you can't sit here and talk about how we took the best team in the league, the double OT. We took one of the better teams in the East to double OT, but we lost. We have what it takes. You can't say that and not acknowledge that you almost lost to the Knicks. A 10-win team. This could have easily been an overtime. Actually, it could have been a loss. If we want to keep the stat, because they were down by two. By one, excuse me. So let's put things into perspective here. Your starting point guard can't have a negative 10 plus minus, Tomas. Let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about it. So we're gonna cut a commercial break really, really quickly, and when I come back, man, I'm gonna get to some of your calls. And then we're going to discuss the road ahead. Wizards have Detroit on Monday. We'll peek at that a little bit, and we'll talk. Stick around. Welcome back to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network, your daily news from local experts. I am Quinn Mayo at TOKIM _ one half of the podcast. My girl Becca, she's at work right now. She's working hard. She will be back. I got the pleasure to do this London podcast because, you know, my schedule just fit to where I was able to watch the game at 3:00, which was, you know, it was a blessing to be able to watch that game over the pond, across the pond. You know, she was doing real work. You know, she has a job. She was doing real work. She couldn't, you know, be glued to the TV. You know, me, I don't have a life, obviously. So I'm watching the Wizards at 3 p.m. on a Thursday. Lucky me. All right, so really quick, we're going to cut to a phone call from my boy Troy in D.C. Come back. I'll talk about it. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Trey calling in from D.C. So, what do you guys think is the most realistic way the Wizards can improve this season? Like, I know we can't move on from Beal or Porter because it doesn't look like Ernie will make those moves, but I would think it's a coaching change. But I'm interested in what you guys could say about what the best way it is for the Wizards to be better this season. Like, what's the most realistic option? Because it doesn't look like we'll be making any trades.
Troy, my man, thank you for the call. Whew. Okay, what is the best way, the most realistic way the Wizards improve this season? Doesn't like they're going to be making any trades, any substantial trades at least. And I don't know. I think Otto is still in play. But after hearing what Ted said, you know, I don't know. Because a lot of times, side note, a lot of times Ernie Grunfeld and Ted, they play that little mind game of, you know, we're good with everything that we have here right now. And then they make changes. Like, they were good with Jan Mahimi being the starting center until Dwight Howard was ready to go. I mean, well, when Mark Chingortat was shipped out, they were good with Jan Mahimi starting. And then, you know, a week later, boom, Dwight Howard comes in. So they're always good with anything that is going on right now. They believe every decision that they've made is fine, and then they somehow make a trade. So realistically speaking, you said coaching change. I don't think a coaching change at this junction, this point in the season, improves the team. I think it's a little too late for that, especially with not having the full display of talent available. You got to think about it. Not only is Scott Brooks the coach of the team right now, like I said, I wish this would have happened earlier, but not only is he the head coach of this team right now, his entire staff is with him. The G League coach was handpicked by Scott Brooks. Everything, I mean, it's a web. Scott has had his hands on everything. And you know, right now with the injured team, no Dwight, no John, you know, what are you really bringing a new coach in to do? He's not maximizing, you know, he has to learn cadences of players, how players act, what they do well, what they don't do well. He has to study them. It takes some time to learn these players. And I mean, not that Scott Brooks has blown the top off of Capital One with his ability to understand his players' strengths and things of that nature, but it just takes a while for a coach to come to a system and learn things about players and learn what works. So, you know, 19-26, you're almost at All-Star break. No, you don't make a coaching change and try to make a push for a deep postseason run. That just doesn't happen. So I don't see that happening. I don't think a coaching change is going to happen or is the most realistic way to improve this team right now. Now, when I hear improve, I kind of feel as though you're suggesting how to be better this year, how to maybe compete in the postseason. And the only thing I can think of is play calling. If we're talking about coaching. But like I said, this is a Scott Brooks philosophy. Scott Brooks has had this philosophy, you know, since he was in OKC. You know, to ask for a coaching change or a philosophy change in terms of being all of a sudden being an extremely in-depth XO coach, it just doesn't, things take time, and I don't see that happening. So what to do right now to get them realistically to be better? This season, I don't think it's many things you can do, but one thing I think you can do to improve is decide to build for the future. You start developing guys like Troy Brown. Troy Brown Jr. came the game yesterday, and I mean, what, he finished with 2 points. He went 1-for-2 from the field. He did attempt a three, had 3 boards, an assist, a crazy nice assist to Sam Decker, no look, and he had a steal. And he had a poster slam on his only bucket of the game, but he just looked good. He looked good. He looked like a guy that should be getting more than 7 minutes per game. He looked like a young, high-ranked draft pick that you brought him in for. So I think you realistically improve this team this season right now by building for the future. You build for the future by shipping out an Otto Porter. However you can achieve that, Ernie, if you can. Get some money off the books, some young talent to build around. Focus the direction of this organization around Bradley Beal. Or John, you know what I'm saying? Whatever that situation is. But I don't think there's anything realistically you can do right now to make this team all of a sudden be a postseason threat. It's just not enough. Too many injuries that hamper things. And now you can't move players because players are hurt. It's just a lot going on. So I say build for the future. Develop Troy Brown. Develop Devin Robinson. Bring in some younger guys. Sam Decker is a bright spot too. He started off slow yesterday. And he just started turning up. I mean, his finishing. Actually, no, he started off fast yesterday. His finishing around the rim is impressive. He hustles. He goes hard. Chase and Randall. I've been hard on Chasing, but I do like his game a little bit. It's kind of like an off-brand John Wall, just a guy that likes to attack the rim. He's fast. I mean, I think that's kind of why they favored him over, you know, giving Troy Brown those minutes. They wanted to bring in somebody that kind of replicates what John is good at. A playmaking guard that is quick off the ball, hard to stay in front of. That's kind of what John is. He's just an off-brand dollar value version of John Wall. That's why he's mostly in the G League, and there's nothing wrong with that. Players develop differently. So I think you just develop a whole bunch of young guys, ship out the guys that don't need to be here, build for the future, and you go from there. That's my answer to your question. I don't know if that's necessarily what you want to hear, but that's kind of what I got right now for you, my guy. So 19-26, Detroit, they're coming in hot. They face off on Monday, I believe is the case. And that game will be in, is that Capital One? Let me see real. Y'all bear with me real quickly. Okay, yeah, that is Capital One. Another two o'clock game? What is going on, man? People got stuff to do in the middle of the day. I can't be watching the Wizards at two. That messes up my whole flow for the rest of the day. Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond coming into town, man. Face off with Bradley Beal. I mean, I guess it should be a good one. You, if you're trying to stick to the, we need to compete, we need to do that, this and the third, we want to make the playoffs, you can't keep going down early by double digits, man. You can't go down by 19 and 20 points to the Knicks. I mean, you just can't do that. Because this is the thing. The Knicks let you come back and get that W. The Raptors not going to let you get that W. They showed you they're not going to go like that. The upper echelon teams that you want to be, that you want to be like, that you want to compete against, they're not going to let you do that. You could do that to the Knicks, the 10-win Knicks. Sure. You can't do that to upper echelon teams. And that's why they won't be able to compete this year. Because you can't keep doing that. So they're facing off the Detroit Pistons on Monday. Both teams are, well, Detroit's 19-24. Wizards are 19-26. If they want to hold true to this, we need to compete right now, and we need to make the postseason. This is a game to continue to do it. Bradley Beal, hopefully he can continue to build his all-star resume, and that boy's going to make it, guys. Don't worry. And if he doesn't, I promise you, we will have a lot more issues than the government shutdown in D.C. So, again, well, thank you for listening to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network. You're dealing with local experts. If you like that phone call little segment that we did, that's the second time we've done it. But you, sir or ma'am, can leave a voicemail, 804-453-8608. Again, that's 804-453-8608. Thank you for listening to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network. You're dealing with local experts. DC family. I'm out of here.